Since 1898, Marquee Who's Who has offered our distinguished listees the opportunity to set themselves apart through our print publications. Now, Marquee Radio offers these illustrious professionals the chance to shine in our one-on-one interviews. My guest today is Ed Fuller, who is the CEO of Laguna Strategic Advisors. How are you doing today, Ed?
Very good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking. Why don't you start by telling us what you'd like to focus on for this interview segment?
Well, at this point, it would be an update on what I have done since I retired from my 40 years with Marriott Corporation, and also focus on some of the accomplishments currently underway, as well as where we were during the last 40 years.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. What do you do as the CEO of Laguna?
Okay, Laguna Strategic Advisors is a group of about 45 consultants. We are not totally focused in the hotel and tourism area, though we have a significant amount of our team from that arena. These are executives that cover a wide range of skills as well as a wide range of products. The organization is designed to support and help individuals who are involved in various aspects of businesses. We also have people who provide coaching and counseling for executive support. And we also have two deans and several educators who are involved in educating our communities. We find this to be a very diverse and exciting organization.
So how did you come to lead this group of people? What is your background in this area?
Well, I spent 40 years with Marriott Corporation. My final job was president of the international division, which I oversaw and really created over a 22-year period with Marriott. We had started with roughly very few international hotels that were reporting to our domestic regions. So we grew from about $300 million to $8 billion in sales, and then ultimately we had an opportunity to expand our workforce. We grew to over 80,000 associates, 551 hotels in 73 countries. Obviously, Marriott has continued to grow globally, but that was my primary job after my service in the military. So I came straight out of Vietnam and started with Marriott in Washington, D.C. in 1972. With that background, I got to know a great number of people in the world and in the global environment, and that's why you will find our consultants come from Europe, Canada, Asia, Costa Rica, as well as from the United States. And I have been primarily involved in global business. Currently, I also teach at University of California, Irvine and San Diego State, as well as the five project organizations that I work with today, which includes my supervision and role as CEO for the Orange County Visitors Association, my involvement with the Visit California State organization, both as a past commissioner and a current position working with the hotel and tourism industry. Also, my other three projects are with Concord Hotels, Mirage Real Estate, and lastly, a project with Brunsfield America in Malaysia. Those are my day-to-day consulting jobs, which help me in my role as a member of Laguna Strategic Advisors.
So when you first joined Marriott following your service in Vietnam, was your goal at that point to devote your career to the hospitality industry, or is that something you sort of picked up as your career progressed?
An insightful question. My goal was to work in the airline industry, and when I came out of Vietnam in 1972, the airlines thought they were having problems, and they had canceled all their management training programs. Mm-hmm. When I entered the service, I had acceptances from an airline you may not even remember, TWA, American and United, and all those were canceled. And so I went to Marriott to interview for a job in their in-flight operations. It was obvious to them and to me that that was not my interest. And at that point, the hotel division, which was only 22 hotels, was looking for someone to work in the military market around Washington, D.C. Because of my 3 years in the military and my rank and background, they were interested in having me go down and represent them where people who had not served in the military were struggling to get cooperation at the bases. And that's how I got started in Marriott.
You've been in the industry for quite a while. How have you noticed the industry changing since you started?
Well, dramatically in more than three or four different phases. Initially, when I started, we were still checking people in with what we called the rack, which was a manual system. We were taking reservations with a chalkboard for availability. We were still providing service, and there was still a focus on customer, but the revenue management system was quite antiquated and could not even be defined as revenue management. The first major steps in the industry was automation. And while I was chief marketing officer and before in the late 70s, I was involved in automating our reservation system, which then led to automation of our front desk systems. And we would call that pioneering conversions, so that they were the forerunner of where we are today and gave Marriott a tremendous marketing advantage because we bought an airline system to build them. Therefore, we were able to give last room availability when others could not. We simply started to really automate, grow, and expand, which led to the eventual creation of systems such as our current online reservation system, our current Marriott Rewards system, which then continued to expand and grow to an unbelievable proportion, but developing loyalty. In the way of the operation itself, we were involved, obviously, in the transition to automating the hotel and the various jobs that allowed us to keep inventory better, to enable us to understand our customers' needs better, and truly gave us a chance to get into understanding our associates better. Marriott always had a set of values, and it always had a very strong focus on those values since its establishment by J. Willard Marriott. But we were able to take those through new communications techniques with us to the various 73 countries we expanded into. We spent a significant amount of money on training. We used visual skills that were not available initially, but are today, everybody has them. And to be able to reinforce the values of the company and to then grow the company's system globally, we could not have done without the internet, which allowed us then to eliminate serving our reservation system through cables overseas and technology that was costing us extreme amount of money. The industry has changed significantly in its business models, but in itself, the business models were a result of the overall change. Marriott and its competitors started as an owned hotel. In the 80s, we moved to managed hotels, and it's only been in 2000 and the late 90s that we've started to include heavy load of franchising of our brands. And that brings us today to Marriott, which has 30 brands. When I retired in 2012, we had 27 brands in Marriott. The acquisition of Starwood, which just occurred, has brought them up to 30. A lot of changes, and you don't have the time to get into the details on it, but a fascinating time to be in the hotel industry.
So based on all those changes you've seen and all the changes that you've helped to create, what do you think lies ahead in the future of the hospitality industry? Do you think you can improve results through increased automation or improving best practices or all of the above?
Well, automation will continue to grow at a tremendous pace. You will be able to check into your room, and you can today in certain brands, if you're an elite player, with your credit card rather using it as a room key. You can today, 5 years after I retired, being able to check in from your office and then walk into the hotel and just be given a key. That will continue to expand. And frankly, robotics has been introduced last year at a conference that I was attending for certain positions that are back of the house positions. And you will see robotics come into play with the non-customer contact areas. As for the change in the industry, I think you'll continue to see consolidation represented by Marriott's acquisition of the Starwood Group. I think you'll continue to see an industry that moves toward franchising. And yet, you said hospitality, so in my current role, both with Visit California, the state's tourism commission, and with Orange County Visitors in Orange County, California, we continue to see an expansion of the actual international travelers. Now, this year we thought might be a little difficult with the political environment, yet international travel is up because while both through economics and currency, Europe and Canada and Latin America have decreased a little. In reality, the Asian countries are coming to the United States in new numbers. And so just using Orange County, we get 46 million visitors a year to Orange County, California. But those 46 million, 4 million, well, almost 5 million are international, and a large percentage are coming from Asia. So you will see a more global hospitality environment. Plus, you will find that in time, and I predicted this many years ago, you will have more hotels in China than you will in the United States as that country continues to convert and expand. And you will find the hotel industry as a whole on a global basis continuing to convert to new modern approaches in their hospitality skills and their hospitality facilities. And we saw that during the 22 years that I was president of the International Division.
So in what areas would you consider yourself to be an expert?
Well, in these days, the medical system seems to make everybody an expert. I think there is an area for general information, and that would be in the hotel operations. So I was sales and marketing in Marriott for well over a third of my career and then operations for the other two-thirds. My sales and marketing experience, having been a chief marketing officer, while dated because it was in the late 70s and early 80s, I continued to focus on that as an operator and as president. So I'm relatively what I consider up to date on all aspects of marketing. I'm especially focused on revenue management on a global scale because of my work in China and my work in the Middle East and Latin America, as well as Europe. And I'm very much involved in the day-to-day business of sales in that aspect of the two operations I supervise. I'd like to think that my global background, which is what I teach to the MBAs at University of California, Irvine, gives me experience because of entering the 73 various markets and the fact that I have visited over 151 different countries over my life during the time both with the military, Marriott, and during my retirement. So my global market understanding and sensitivities are really there. I completed a book while I was still with Marriott, which Mr. Marriott encouraged, called You Can't Lead with Your Feet on the Desk, and it's currently published both in China, Japan, as well as the U.S., and has had a very wide distribution in the United States, and it carries a lot of the principles that I was able to pick up during my career. And even if I was to update it, the last 6 years, 2 years of my married career and the last 4 years with Orange County Visitors and Visit California have expanded my knowledge. You never stop learning.
So you've spent a good portion of your career with a single large hotel chain. So what I would ask is, what do you see as the role of the so-called disruptive hospitality company, the Airbnbs, for example? Do you see them as posing any kind of a threat to the Marriotts and the DoubleTrees and so forth?
Well, my current role with Visit California enables me to visit with both my past competitors as well as the Marriott executives. And so we've had lots of time to talk about that with the different CEOs across the industry. Most CEOs see Airbnb as a concept not going away completely, but clearly the company itself is facing a lot of challenges in different communities because in some cases the issue is the tax they don't pay. In some cases, it's the issue of the neighborhood that doesn't want a stranger in their neighborhood. Anaheim just voted Airbnb out of their community because of that. And then the third is the factor that Airbnb doesn't really have great situations for insurance and life safety. Along that line, though, the concept of house rental has been around for a long time. And where Airbnb is impacting the industry is not where you have the individual owner, but you have corporate groups that have assembled a large number of apartments and are offering them through the Airbnb system. So I'm not sure whether, unless Airbnb changes, starts paying taxes, provides insurance and certain safeguards for their customers, I'm not sure Airbnb will be around, but the concept of renting houses will be around for a long time, and that concept has been around for a long time, and that sharing of homes, which is where Airbnb got its initial thought process on developing the company.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about your career in education. How and why did you transition between your consulting role and your role as an educator with UC Irvine?
Well, to be honest about the whole thing, I started as I retired with UC Irvine because of my alignment with UC Irvine. I was on the school advisory board, and I felt that I had a story to teach, and my book gave me that opportunity to use that as a basis of global management and working in global environments. So there have been really two MBA courses that I have regularly taught since I retired in 2012 at UCI in the MBA area. I also have taught at Pomona, Boston University, and San Diego State undergraduate courses in leadership. And I'm currently only for geography and also trying to get more consolidated. I'm teaching this year for the first time an undergraduate course in leadership at UCI. Your question was why? Candidly, I do that for my own personal improvement. It's not about the salary, trust me. And that is that I enjoy being with students. I enjoy sharing my experience with students, and candidly, when you get right down to it, they seem to react well to the information we're giving out, and I have been able to mentor several students that have gone into international and other businesses, and there is a personal reward for that.
Do you feel that your years of hands-on experience maybe makes you a little more prepared to discuss some of the topics relevant to an MBA program than, let's say, a career educator?
Your adjunct professors, which are what you described as the hands-on professors, tend to be able to give a more accurate feel for the subject matter. And in many cases, I have worked with the professional educators to try to give some of the topics a more realistic and real-world example. Frankly, the education system in the business schools has expanded dramatically using what they call adjunct professors, which is what I'm called, to increase that experience. You do not find it in every aspect of the university. And so when you come down to it, I serve on three boards. I'm a former trustee at BU, current trustee at UCI, and a similar position at San Diego, San Marcos State College. And I find that in my experience with all three institutions, one private and two state, that the adjunct professors add color and a dimension that you can't get just from the book.
So we talked a little bit about the lessons you've taught your students, but let's talk about the lessons you've learned. What would you say is the most important lesson that you've learned throughout your career or your life in general?
I basically learned globally and expanded my experience about relationships. Outside the United States, the world is still built on relationships when it comes to business. In many countries, you cannot rely on the legal system, so you have to rely on relationships. And it came very clear to me that learning and working with people around the world, if you did not have a strong relationship, you really could not do business in the fashion of the countries that you were dealing in. America today is transactional. The rest of the world is still relying on relationships. In time, maybe the world will be transactional. I don't think it'll be in the immediate lifetime of many. But for the moment, I found that this was the strength. There are a lot of things that make those work well, and it also requires an understanding of your values, the company values, the country's values, and also how you develop trust and the various skills you have to apply, such as listening, as well as interaction, and above all, understanding the history of the various countries that you do business in. I brought some of those skills back to the United States and found they gave me an advantage that I didn't have in America because, quite frankly, nobody else was using them. So if you could use those skills and bring them into the U.S. community, you often had stronger and deeper working environment with many of the people here because they just weren't used to people investing in the relationship.
So what kind of advice would you give to the next generation of hotel executives, hotel employees, or even just anyone in any field that you've touched?
Well, the hospitality industry as a whole is growing dynamically because of the entry of all these new travelers. We have over 77 million visitors to the United States, and that's expanded our business model. And it requires a lot of sensitivities in dealing with the customers. So my advice is threefold. Depending on what level of business you want to enter, whether you want to enter the corporate world, whether you want to be in the operational world of hospitality, or whether you want to be in the marketing world of tourism, number one is to understand your own personal goals and expectations, and to grow with those with an understanding that if you want to continue to expand your background and increase your ranking, that's great, but you've got to know yourself and where you want to be. Not everybody wants to be a president of a company. Not everyone should be a president of a company. But there are a lot of people who, over time, find themselves very happy at different positions within the industry. The good news is the hospitality and the hotel industry have a number of great opportunities, and everyone needs to find their niche. that doesn't mean that you don't work hard. That's a really something that is very important because we're a 24/7 industry. But it does mean that you find what you enjoy, because when you're in the hospitality industry, everything you do comes back to your attitude when you work with people, whether they work for you or whether they work as a customer coming to you. And when we had a principle in Marriott which said, take care of your associates will take care of the customer, and the customer will come back and again and again. It also means in this industry you have to have a focus on the people that work for you.
Thank you, Ed, for taking the time out of your day to share your story with our listeners. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Marquee Radio. Stay tuned for more in-depth and informative interviews with professionals from all walks of life.